Yeah, I think it's really tough to sell people who actually know that Penn State program, like the ball knowers in the program, that we fired a top 10 college football coach in the world for his
Harry
like
Smith, yeah.
for his like right-hand man who is like his helper, who does not coach any position or call plays, and you lost James Franklin's like recruiting edge. That was like one of the things that made him so elite. And
Also,
now
the other thing is
they're
like,
ranked 129th. They're right in front of Harvard in their recruiting class right now.
yeah, that's the other thing. Like, the recruiting class is falling apart. So, and that's terrible. I mean, those are James Franklin commits that decommitted, but if Terry Smith
He's
is going to
still
be
on
your head coach,
but he's still on the phone with you. Like, dude, it's not like Terry Smith is like still calling these guys like, hey, like, you know, just because James left, like, this is my vision for the program. And they're like, yeah, we're all good, Terry. Thanks.
They have five recruits in the for signing day tomorrow.
Yeah. Them and Harvard are right neck and neck.
How about Lane and LSU? Just Lane just inherits the number one recruit in the country.
Who?
The whatever the defensive tackle's name is,
Oh,
but
yeah.
he was committed to LSU already, and then just
He stayed.
right away.
I mean, dude, that's, I mean, that's what, dude, that's what we talk about with LSU. Like, you just have a chance to recruit higher level defensive players. That makes your life easier. And it just sucks that he's not going to be able to coach the rest of the year with Ole Miss. Like, that's such a shame. But I'm sure he had something to do with like getting Charlie Weiss back in there to call plays.
I agree.
Like, dude, he tried. I think like Lane, for as messy as this was, what else is, it's gonna be messy when you leave a program in the middle, a playoff team in the middle of a year. I just don't under, I don't know what more he could have done. Like, this was pretty Lane Kiffin-esque. I mean, I
It
think
also,
you got it.
I was going to say, it also makes sense that if you're going to hire Pete Golding, then you can't have Lane there, but you can definitely have Charlie Weiss there. Because they were equivalent, and then Golding got elevated and Weiss is going to LSU, but you can get away with him being in the building more than you can with Lane being there.
Yeah, you can't get away with Lane being
Also,
there.
imagine just the dynamics in the building. If Lane and Pete Golding were there, they knew Pete Golding was going to become the head coach, and they're just fighting over players on the team. And who's going to LSU? Who's staying?
Yeah, dude, that's you
That's just
can't.
an that's an insane scenario to think about.
Like, are you just gonna let Lane Kiffin like secretly just interview each one of your players? Like, hey, Trinidad, like, you know, obviously we're trying to win this game this week, but what do you think about joining
Coming to
me in
Rouge?
Baton Rouge? You like crawfish?
Yeah, it's true. I thought Trinidad was done.
He's trying to
He
apply. He's applying
during
for a
the Egg Bowl,
waiver,
they were saying he's applying for another year.
which
You
means
think
like.
he'll go to LSU? No, I think they'll get a better quarterback.
Pretty much. Like
Probably,
Levitt.
like, you know
No.
who.
He liked the Instagram post. Lenoris.
The insane
Lenoris.
press conference too, where the guy was like, "Are you staying at South Carolina?" And he's like, "I'm gonna make that decision when I have to."
I
That's an
don't think that
honest
was the.
answer. Honest answer. Yeah,
But
yeah.
like, he also has agents being like, dude, at least try to make yourself seem available.
Yeah, 100%.
Because he's just gonna like, he's gonna take LSU's offer and stick it on Beamer's desk and be like, here's what they're offering me.
Yeah.
Or at least his agent will.
Yeah.
Also, why would you not go there if you're Sellers? To be honest, why would you not go play with Lane Kiffin and
That
then
is,
go to the draft?
is that, I don't know if he's the style of quarterback that would.
Really?
I think Lane can adjust his scheme to
Yeah,
fit
yeah.
the traits of his QB, no matter what.
Then we could get. What about Sam? I think he would go for Sam Levitt too.
Levitt.
Levitt seems like the prototypical Kiffin, like best version of Trinidad Chambliss.
Like Dart.
Yes,
Yeah.
that's a good point, Sam. Very good point.
Would you make a Mateer Dart comp or no?
No.
I think Dart's better.
Well, I don't think we got to
Well, I
see
think
the
Dart's
best.
better too, but Do you
I
think
don't
they
think
have
we got to see
similar?
the best of Mateer as a thrower with his
Dude,
hand.
I think Mateer, the best. I think Mateer. No, that's a fair. It's fair. It's fair. But Mateer is like Texas Tech Baker Mayfield.
Okay. That's not a bad comp. There's
He
also,
played.
you can just see when a QB goes to a school with a QB whisperer, you can also just see, like, there's always just noticeable improvement. And
Yep. Do you think he
just
could
that's the
leave?
best way to get right. Like Baker going to Oklahoma, he just got right. So if a guy like Leavitt goes to LSU and he's with Lane Kiffin for a year, or someone
Yeah.
goes to Kentucky to play with Will Stein, you just know you're going to get right there.
Yeah.
And you'll probably be a first round pick because you already
You know who I
have.
actually think might go to Kentucky, Charlie?
Who?
Mason.
Oh,
Hinschel.
that'd be brutal.
Dude, that would
I
suck,
was thinking
bro.
about that today because what if they hire Cade Bell? That would actually be a pretty good hire for Will Stein.
Cade Bell's ROC, though.
That's what I'm saying. What if Kentucky hired Cade Bell?
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky can pay him more money, probably. They already took Jalen Lowe from me, so.
If
If
like re I was really thinking about I think Mason Hinschel would be like a really good fit for Kentucky because he's young and he's old. Like I think that would be
yeah,
a good like small up for him.
he's also got like just playmaking ability that Kentucky would have to just rely on so much to win games. So that seems like a guy Will Stein might try to hunt down. Definitely. But that just sucks because you land a guy, dude, Pitt was his only Power Four offer, and then all of a sudden he hits and like you developed him and then like you just lose him and like Holstein
That's
just
why I
loses
actually
him.
think he could stay, is because of that.
I also don't think he's played like that well to where it
Dude,
warrants
Pitt also has the money. They paid Eli $2 million.
damn.
Yeah, like dude, why don't we just take Eli's money and give that to Mason? I mean, I'm sure that's what they're gonna do, but no, I mean, Kentucky's definitely a better place for a quarterback to be, especially with Will Stein. But I think Cade Bell does a good job with quarterback play as well. So
It's pretty cool that Kentucky went out and got a Stein type guy.
dude,
Dude,
really cool.
that's an awesome that like Yeah.
pissed me off.
Especially because remember how earlier in the season Pate was talking about how like the best job in college football is Kentucky because if you go 7-5, like they'll keep you forever because that's what's expected of you. So this was like this kind of changes the narrative on Kentucky a little bit. Like they're a little bit more serious about football with this hire. And like this, dude, Will Stein was a big fish that I thought like we've been mentioning him for a lot of the jobs. We're like, why not go get the guy that has had really successful offenses out in Oregon?
Also, Lanning, I mean, Dillingham is a great, that's just great track record and credit for Lanning assistance. That's definitely got to be one of the places where you're looking first. Now, it's like going to Saban staff or Kirby staff. That's like that whole just that's
Pre.
always got to be the pipeline
Yep.
you're fishing around in
And that is
because
so
there's.
funny. It's so funny when you like when you really zoom the tree out and it's literally just Nick Saban. Like if you just zoom out the college football tree, like so many of them are just like Dabo Sweeney, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer
Saban's like
even.
their grandpa.
Yeah. It's like Kirby came from Saban, Lane came from Saban. I feel like Lane, the 2 years he was, and you know the job he wants before before he dies. I don't know
He
if he'll ever
can't.
get.
He
I don't
can't
know if
do
he'll.
that. He can't do that, though.
What?
Dude, what are we doing?
In like
FanDuel put out
5 years?
line for LSU Ole Miss next year.
I
I
might
mean,
hammer LSU.
they know what they're doing. They're just getting dumbasses to bet the
What's the
game.
spread?
1.5.
Oh, I might tap in
Dude,
LSU.
I think what I actually want, what I
If
think is
Lenore
they're gonna make
Sellers is
that
the
game
QB.
like they're gonna make that game like week 3, just to make sure that there's still like if Ole Miss like sucks next year, that game will be week 3,
Oh,
in
make
my
sure they're
prediction.
3-0 or four
Or
or 2-0.
Ole Miss will be 2-0 and LSU will either be 1-0 or 1-1 or 2-0 or
Yeah.
1-1 after Clemson.
Oh, that'd be a big win for Clemson if they got that.
I wonder, I don't know if I paid attention enough for to coaching hires in the past. The best precedent I can think of is DeBoer and how the team was kind of gutted when he got hired. But I wonder if it's going to be a similar situation or if they're just
Well,
gonna.
dude, think about the difference between the two hires. DeBoer got hired after of after not
True,
only
after the Natty. Facts,
but no
facts.
no but he got hired so but that's big because you didn't get National Signing Day and the portal window closed, so you could only lose guys you couldn't
But it was
get guys.
open for Bama players, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So dude, Kiffin gets the recruiting class, the portal, and
So,
like,
yeah.
dude, he's gonna, I mean, there's gonna be
He's
some
gonna gut
players.
that team.
Yeah, but he's gonna get his
But there's
players.
still some pieces there that, I mean,
Yes.
LSU definitely has great talent there that we
Yes.
just don't even know about yet.
Wait, isn't that
Like
they have that one
Whit
freshman
Weeks is.
receiver? What's that? Is it not Nick? Nick Anderson's not a freshman, but they have
Oh, number six.
one of the Ander. There's two
Aaron, it's
Andersons.
Aaron Anderson. Aaron Anderson's gross. Number one.
Yeah, I believe he's a freshman.
He is. He's gross. I mean,
Yeah.
dude, no, nobody's more excited than the any offensive starter at LSU that like has NFL aspirations.
I always immediately think of O-line. They were pretty mid to bad this
Yeah.
year. But they also had a lot of young guys that now have a lot of starting experience in the
Yeah.
SEC. I'm sure they'll bring in some ringers
Yeah.
from wherever.
Ole Miss.
Yeah, Diego Pounds. I think he's in the draft though. That guy's
Oh.
so good.
Is that number 61?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
guy's
love
good.
watching him. Yeah. But I mean the Ole Miss D O line, that's a great place. Their O line's good. That's a good spot to poach from.
So Arch is gonna join whenever he can, but
Okay.
we're gonna get this thing
I mean, we've
going
been going for like 15 minutes already.
already. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 19th edition of the Ford Pass Podcast. We got me, Charlie Mill, we got Sam Perry, we got Luke Duskin, Caleb Archer will be joining us later. Fellas, we had a jam-packed weekend of rivalry weekend, and we also had a carousel in the coaching world, and that's where we're gonna decide to start things off. So I'm gonna kind of go through the list, and then I want you guys to give me who your favorite hire was of this cycle. So, out of the SEC, a lot of movement in the SEC with John Summerall, the Tulane coach, head to Florida. Alex Golish, the USF coach, head to Auburn. Ryan Silverfield, the Memphis head coach, head to Arkansas. Lane Kiffin, the Ole Miss coach, head to LSU. We have Will Stein, the Oregon offensive coordinator, go to Kentucky, and then we had Bob Chesney, who I thought had a chance to get the Penn State job. He's the James Madison head coach. He just got hired at UCLA. Pat Fitzgerald, out of a 3-year hiatus, is now coaching at Michigan State, who fired Jonathan Smith. Pat Fitzgerald last coached at Northwestern 3 years ago. So,
We all know how that ended.
yeah, not good. Not good. And they're going to another, he's going to another school riddled with, bad history. Dusko, your favorite hire or your least favorite hire?
My favorite hire, for me, I don't want to steal any from you guys, so I'll just go with my number one first. It's Alex Golish to Auburn. And I've talked about it before. I'm just biased towards play calling head coaches, offensive play calling head coaches that can go anywhere, develop quarterbacks and implement a system and bring a lot to teams that have struggling offenses. You've seen what he's been able to do at USF this year with Byron Brown, with all the talent they have, and they've been able to consistently score points all year. He did the same thing at Tennessee. And when he goes to Auburn, he's going to have all the resources that come along with being the coach at Auburn. He's a pretty, I'm trying to think of a nice way to put it, but I mean, he's kind of just a savage type coach too, that's going to take no prisoners and knows how to build a culture of a team. You can see that in the USF team this year. They play with an edge and it's noticeable. And I think that's perfect for Auburn. I think he's going to go in there. It's a place where defensive talent is, oh, they're always filled to the brim with defensive talent. It's we've talked about the SEC schools that you go and you just have an inherent advantage of being able to bring in defensive talent because of the location. Auburn's one of those places. You can see that in their defense this year. And they've always just needed a coach that can get the offense humming. Hugh Freeze wasn't able to do that, but I think they've gone in a pretty good direction with Golish. I think he's going to be able to get that offense humming, and with that inherent defensive advantage, I'm just excited to see what they're able to. What type of product they're able to put out on the field. I think it's certainly going to be better than the Auburn product we've seen in the last few years. And then least favorite hire, I think this will be common among all of us. It's Ryan Silverfield to Arkansas. And it's not necessarily because Ryan Silverfield's a bad coach. I just think that with Arkansas and what they've projected to the world, what they want their football program to develop into, and we always talk about how much financial investment that school can have with the big corporations that are in its backyard and the backing that they get. And you can see that in their basketball program too. There's a lot of investment in that program. They hired Coach Cal, who's an all-timer, and the basketball program's come a long way. And they want to do the same thing in football, and Ryan Silverfield is kind of just uninspiring. In that respect, he's not a super young gun coordinator like a Will Stein, who I'm sure we'll talk about, or a young head coach from a G5 conference that's had a lot of success so far. He's
Yeah, if you're the
Memphis has been,
Walmarts, I don't know, or the Tysons, I don't know if this is
yeah.
moving
How
the
excited are
needle.
you about this?
Yeah, I don't
He
know.
went 50-25 at Memphis, did a good job of building them back up after Norvell left. They won four bowl games. They were fine. This season they had a really good roster and started to capitulate towards the end of the year. I wonder if that a part of that is because his foot was halfway out the door. But I mean, it's just not as exciting to me as some of the other hirings that the SEC schools that were open got. And I think a comparable team to them in the SEC is Kentucky. And if you're them, you have to be way more excited about bringing in Will Stein from a program like Oregon than taking Ryan Silverfield from Memphis. But I mean, this clip could be clipped in a few years, and Ryan Silverfield leads Arkansas to an SEC championship, and I look like a complete fool. But I think it's hard to see that happening.
I think to piggyback on the Arkansas thing real quick before I get into mine, I think the main issue with Arkansas, and we talked about this earlier in the season when we kind of knew that Pittman was on his way out, I just don't think that there's alignment there right now with the donors and the football program. It seems like the donors are willing to kind of go all in on other sports like football, or not football, basketball and baseball, but not necessarily put together that financial commitment towards football. Just because of where they've been in the SEC in the past few years, just being a middling program. And I know you guys kind of talked about this earlier, but like, where does Arkansas, like, what is their ceiling of a season? And I wonder if the donors might think the same way, and that might be why they weren't willing to make a big splash hire and like really go out and spend a lot of money and promise $25 million in a roster and $10 million to that coach, et cetera. So yeah, pretty underwhelming hire for Arkansas when you see teams like even UCLA making a pretty popular hire. So I'll go to my favorite
Wait,
hire.
can I just add one more stat in to just
Yeah.
reinforce everything we just said? So, in Pittman's tenure, the best recruiting class that they had at Arkansas was ranked 25th in 2023. 25th in 2023. I want you guys to guess where that ranked out of SEC teams in that year.
23 nationally,
Yeah, 25th
probably
nationally.
12th.
It's 13th. So, I mean, when you talk about that job as well, you kind of also have to understand if you're pumping out the 25th best recruiting class, you're kind of in trouble in the SEC. And I think it's a tough job to turn around. And
Which is insane, because if you threw the 25th best recruiting class in the ACC, you'd be cooking with grease or the Big
well, we've talked
12.
about before how good Arkansas would be in the Big 12 or the
Yeah,
ACC. Yeah.
gosh, like, dude, the 25th best recruiting class would get it done in some other conferences,
Yeah.
and you're just not. Yeah,
That's what I think is if you're a donor, why are you putting all this money on the line for what? Like, to maybe go 8-4 and make the tax slayer Gator Bowl?
Pate said it nicely when he talked about how if you're What did he say about, he said Arkansas, like, oh, if you're spending money and you're spending more money, you're expecting more wins. But in today's college football, if you spend more money, all you're doing is trying to match up what other programs are spending. So even if Arkansas goes out, pays $25 million for a roster and $10 million for a coach, like, that's just what the other programs in the SEC are doing. That might just get you to 6-6, because right now they're at 4-4 and 7. So it's somewhat, they're gonna need a wizard. I mean, yeah, God needs to help Arkansas. Like, when I listened to the podcast today and he was like,
God help
yeah,
Arkansas.
God help Arkansas, because, like, well, how was this, is an uninspiring hire, and, like, what is the path forward? Like, what is the path forward?
Path
So,
is just fully embracing being a basketball school.
yeah, that is the tournament. The tournament is the, not the playoff, the tournament. Yeah. Sam, your favorite hire?
I'm gonna go with John Summer out of Florida.
I
And
like that.
here's why. I think that, so first off, I mean, this is pretty common in coaching, but I just think, first off, like, being a former player, especially a linebacker like Summerall was, and playing in the SEC at Kentucky, I think that that is just a really good way to establish a program and set a tone for what you want your program to be. And for the last few years, it's really seemed like, even, I guess the last time I would say this was in the Kyle Trask and Pitts teams, they didn't really have, they still haven't really had an identity since then. And I think that's what Summerall is going to bring to the table here. He's obviously known for having top defenses at Tulane as well as Troy. So I think that is just going to turn into Florida's identity. And they already, we saw this multiple times this year where they were able to hang in some of these big time games that they played with their defense. And he even went out and said, and I don't remember if this was an opening presser or just a statement that he made, that he is committed to hiring an elite, explosive offensive play caller. So I'm really excited to see what he does, just because of how much of an impact he's going to have on that defense. And then, hopefully, like everyone says, how important it is to hire a good staff. And he's had very good offenses at Tulane the last 2 years. So I just trust him to make a big move there. And if I'm a Florida fan, I think you got the second best coach in this hiring cycle, and I would be very excited. Then on to my least favorite hire, it's actually the hire that hasn't been made, and that is Penn State. Because we're going to beat the Arkansas drum all day, but to go a little bit more into Penn State, they were probably, they, I can't remember if Pittman or Franklin was fired first. Doesn't matter. They fired Franklin early in the season with the hope of getting an elite coach, whether that was Cignetti, which they whiffed on, or Marcus Freeman, which they whiffed on, or potentially Lane or Summerall or any of these big
Oh, Matt
guys,
Rhule.
Matt Rhule and Mike Elko, and none of it worked out for them. And now here they are holding their hands, and tomorrow is signing day for those who are unaware, and they have five players committed to their school right now. So,
They're a
and
hundred. They're right next to Harvard in the
yeah,
recruiting
they're
rankings
behind
right now.
Harvard, and their entire team and commits have left for Virginia Tech. And it's trending more and more like they're either going to get Terry Smith or like a Brian Daboll, or they keep flashing around this mystery man, this big splash hire that they're going to make, but they have just completely whiffed. And now you're getting into really dangerous territory in building a recruiting class to a school where it might be harder to recruit offensive talent than you think at Penn State. And then even if you have a new hire, like, then they have to hire a staff, and you're just going to be behind the eight ball, and they have really screwed up this coaching hire. Another thing that I found interesting was on McShay. He was talking about Jimmy Sexton, who is the, for those who don't know, we've kind of talked about him a little bit, the big wig agent that,
The Scott Boras of college football.
right, he represents basically every major coach, and there is rumors that he is making it hell for Penn State to hire a new head coach because of James Franklin and how they unfairly, not unfairly, but poor timing on the hire. So I'm not worried because it's Penn State, but if I was a Penn State fan, I would be very worried,
Yeah.
because at this point, like, who would you guys say is a slight, would be, if Penn, who would Penn State hire right now? You'd be like, all right, like, because if they would have hired Will Stein, I would have said, fine, like, you know, we made a risk. Bob Chesney, all right, he's been successful. Even Jeff Brohm would have been okay, like, solid. But now it's like,
I thought it was Chesney. I thought it was staring them right in the face, because my favorite hire, I mean, I'll not my favorite hire, but a hire we'll talk about is Bob Chesney going to UCLA. I don't know what the ceiling on the UCLA program is, but if he can get them to like 7-5, 8-4 perennially, I think that opens him up for higher caliber jobs. I think this is another stepping stone, and he's a winning football coach. He won at Assumption, which is D2. He won at Holy Cross FCS. He won at JMU, which is Group of Five. Like, this is going to be his first Power Five job, Power Four job, and he's won everywhere he goes. He does call the plays for James Madison, so it's nice that you get kind of an offensive play caller head coach. And I thought that's where they were going to go. You know, this is why. So Pat Kraft is the athletic director at Penn State. He was the athletic director at Boston College before Penn State. So I don't know how he ended up getting the, I don't know why Penn State went and hired Boston
He's an
College athletic
alum.
director. No, I get it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So I'm not questioning if he's qualified or not for to do this job. All I am saying is there's a reason athletic departments should be secular from the fan base, because 365 days ago, the Ohio State fan base was calling for Ryan Day's head, and they did not want him to coach that football program anymore. And you know what Ohio State's athletic director did? Nothing. He let Ryan, if you believe Ryan Day is the man for the job, let him do the job. They now have a national championship, and they're staring down the barrel of another run. They are the perennially the best football team in college football, and Ryan Day is the second best coach in college football. And he lost to Michigan 4 straight years, which is the ultimate sin at Ohio State, but they didn't fire him. In the same way, James Franklin has had tons of 10-win seasons since 2016, 3 straight. They've been to 2 Rose Bowls in a playoff game in the past 3 years. They are a peach, a rose, whatever it was. This has been the peak of the program since the 90s or the early 2000s. And you made a rash decision off of a couple bad losses. And now we're here. And now, is Kalani Sitake going? It's looking like
No.
no. It's looking like
No.
no.
I have an
It's
angle.
what? You have an angle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
If we're considering that a mystery man might be about to emerge, and we're all gonna be surprised by who it is, I think it's been talked about before, and his name's been coming up in searches. But I think out of loyalty to the school he played for and he's coached at for like 10 years. I think that if Brian Hartline is going to go to Penn State, that
it would be after.
he's going to want to coach Ohio State at least through this Big Ten championship game and potentially through the rest of the playoff. And that's potentially destructive for Penn State in 2026. But at this point, stripping the program to its studs and rebuilding from there, that's not the worst idea in the world. And I don't even know if it makes logical sense, but that angle just popped in my head. I thought it could be something to consider.
Or would, just to play devil's advocate, what if Hartline isn't sold on Penn State necessarily and kind of pulls a Summerall and kind of takes a back seat and says, hey, maybe I don't want to go to Penn State. Let's see what happens in 2025, in 2026 with some other programs with a coach potentially on the hot seat. Just a thought. Like, there could be some talk, like, I don't, not to get like overly speculative, but like, there could be another big, like two big programs like Texas and Bama. If Bama loses early and they have a bad season, like there could be some big time jobs opening up next year too that could maybe lure Hartline,
I
or
mean,
maybe he's thinking that, or his
I think
team might be saying
Hartline,
that.
I actually think Hartline, they would walk, if they walked ass backwards in the Hartline, I would like call it a good hire. I'd be like, you know what? I actually think he's a pretty good coach. But I would think, I mean, your search was a JV search, but like you did walk ass backwards into Brian Hartline. So I wonder how that works. But I mean, is Hartline gonna, traditionally the coach, the mentor does not perform very well against like the sensei head coach. So like, I don't know if Brian Hartline's going to solve the Ohio State problem that you guys have had, that James
I don't
Franklin
think
hasn't
anyone
figured
can
out.
solve that problem,
That's what
though.
I'm saying.
That's
So
yeah.
like, did we get
At this
better than
point, I
James
think Penn
Franklin?
State's like, all right, we'll just take a a 10-win season
Well,
now.
they don't even
Oh
play
yeah.
right. I'm saying, like,
We just
yeah.
want 10-win seasons.
Oh, can we please get, it's been such a miserable year. Can we just get 10 wins? Like, you probably would have got that the next year if Ben Franklin was still laying around. But yeah. Yeah.
I think also, I'm sure we're going to talk about this later, but another potential angle, you're mentioning Hartline waiting for a job to open up in 26. The most insane, I don't think this would ever happen just because of the rivalry, but if the Michigan job opens after next year,
Ooh.
I doubt Brian Hartline would ever want to coach at Michigan. But imagine if that job's open, he's the premier name in the market, and then we see something like that happen. But
Yeah, I actually kind of I think that he could, there could be some other, like I would wait if I was him.
I think the
Because he's gonna
Michigan.
go into Penn State in a lose situation with likely no recruits. And it's not like he's going from a school where he can just take guys like, hey, Jared, come on guys, you wanna come with me? No, that's not gonna happen. So he's gonna have to kind of scratch and claw.
Wait, do you guys think like we'll get into the Ohio State Michigan game now that we're kind of talking about these programs, but I think that's a good point that that job might open up. Because do we think Sharon Moore is a top 20 head coach in college football?
Not sold on him.
No, me neither.
I don't want to say no, but
I agree.
I
I think he
think
deserves one more year.
he's gonna get one more year,
Yep.
which is fair
Which he
because
should.
the offense this year is really young,
Yes.
and you can just see that when they play. I think he deserves one more year, but after that, if it doesn't go as expected, and I think it's gonna be the expectation is gonna be Big Ten championship and or
Playoff.
at least semifinal.
Dude, I'm just peeking ahead now that we're on the Michigan train. Do they play Oklahoma, Indiana, Iowa, Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State, at
Wow.
Minnesota, which is not easy? Yeah, I mean that's
What?
not an
No
easy
way they
schedule
get
there.
through that. They have to be so good to get through that.
Wonder
You gotta
what's
be
gonna have to take a he's gonna have to take a big step.
Yeah.
Does 9-3 get Sharon Moore fired though? In that
Next year?
schedule, you should they it shouldn't. It shouldn't.
9-3 with that schedule is like, wow. We unless they lose, like if they get one of those big games, like if they beat Indiana, Ohio State, or Oklahoma, I feel like, and then maybe they drop three other, like if they get one of those, and then I don't know. What do you
That's
think? Do
a crazy schedule,
you
though.
think not? I think 9-3, you should keep your job.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Especially with Bryce
Unless
Underwood.
they, unless like they think they can just get whoever they want, which they probably could.
Yeah. No,
Like if
yeah.
they have realized that Sharon Moore really hasn't moved the needle much since they won the Natty, and there's some new hotshot someone that comes out next year that they're like, oh, we want that they, because they don't need. I think they could do what Penn State thought that they were going to be able to do this year
Yes, yes.
and poach. So Michigan can poach someone.
Yes. Michigan can go down to the SEC and
Like
poach
Michigan could
almost anybody
take,
who they want.
like, yeah, someone would leave
The only
a very
jobs,
high-level
the
program.
only jobs I think are like secure from Michigan poaching are Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, LSU,
Texas.
Texas,
Notre Dame,
Alabama, Notre
maybe.
Dame.
Even though there's just, I've heard things about Freeman's family not liking South Bend.
Where have you heard this? That
Just
you don't.
from, yeah, people around the coaching world.
Got you. Okay. All right. I feel like it's more likely he leaves for the NFL than another college coaching job, but we'll see. But yeah, I guess we can let's talk about like the Michigan Ohio State game. I did like a pretty hefty breakdown on the doc, but basically it comes down to this, like. The Michigan just did not have enough good football players to beat Ohio State in a football game. And that seems like very juvenile and simple to say, but I mean that's just what happened. Their receivers did not get there was no separation all day. So I felt like watching this game, like we were just watching the best team in the country play their rival who is a couple tiers below them talent-wise. I thought obviously, Julian Sand throws like that early pick, and you're like, oh, is this? Are we going to see this? Is this going to happen again? And But Julian saying, like, dude, he bounced back. That guy's such an NFL talent, and I'm sure NFL GMs are drooling. And when he works out at pro, the out at this pro day to throw to like Cardale Tate and some of the other like skill guys they have, and they're just watching, but they can't like they can see, but they can't touch. I just think he's such an NFL guy. Michigan didn't tackle as well as maybe they should have, and I think I think. Bo Jackson, also another guy that just out of the woodwork, Ohio State, just dude. So, Ohio State plus 150 for the Natty right now, and Indiana has their work cut out for him,
Are
got
you
out for
kidding
them.
me?
What?
They're plus 150 to win the Natty?
Yeah, plus 150 to win the
Crazy.
Natty. Yeah, I mean, dude. I mean, this game is just like wow. I mean, who is beating this team? I thought. I didn't even think Underwood played that bad. His receivers did not get open. I mean, Ohio State's DBs are freakishly good. Freakishly good. Their corners are like 6'2" with length and they tackle well. Their safeties, obviously, like Caleb Downs is going to be the first safety off the board this year. They're just loaded with NFL
They also have
talent.
the best linebackers in
Oh,
college football.
dude. Oh my gosh. Their linebackers are so nasty. And Michigan's got good linebackers too, but gosh, Ohio State's linebackers fly around. Their edges are some of the best in the country. Like, dude, they're so stout on defense. On offense, they have Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, Bo Jackson, Max Clair, Julian Sain. Like, I mean, how many guys are going to be playing on Sunday in this roster? Like, too many. Too many for your average college team to beat. And it's unfair a little bit to judge Michigan on this game this year. Like, they played hard, but I don't know who's beating this squad. We'll see Indiana this week. Like, they got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, I mean, I completely second everything you just said. Fun stat. I heard this on Pate Show. Since 2001, the team that has won the rushing battle in this game has won every single time. And we know Michigan hangs their hat on their ability to impose their will and run the ball, but they got completely dominated on the ground here. There was a towards the end of the third and into the fourth quarter, there was a 20-play drive that took off 12 minutes of the game clock by Ohio State, and it was just death by a thousand cuts. They just kept running the ball for they would run it for 2 yards, and then 8 yards, and then 4 yards again, and then 6 yards, and they were just consistently gaining yards on the ground, picking up first downs, just bleeding the clock. They outgained Michigan 419 to 163, and they definitely played extremely conservative too in the second half, and you could tell they were just milking the clock. They knew their defense wasn't going to get scored on, and they knew they didn't really have to be that aggressive on offense. And you could see that in the way they were playing, how they were just bleeding the clock and just utterly dominating the game. I agree with you saying that Michigan shouldn't be judged based off this result. They should be judged though on their this we can have a separate Trump more conversation. We kind of got into it a little bit already, but I just think it's plus 150 makes sense because we haven't seen a team. Oh, there's Arch. We haven't seen a team that has shown that they have no deficiencies other than Ohio State. So when you get into a game with them, they're going to be able to exploit your deficiencies, but we haven't really seen a soft spot from them. And they haven't played the greatest schedule, but every time they touch the field, you're kind of mesmerized by what they're able to do. So yeah, they're just running college football at the moment.
Yeah, it was like we kind of talked about how what Michigan needed to happen to win. Like, what was going to happen to Ohio State's sideline if Michigan maybe goes down and scores and then they get a quick turnover or a three and out? And that's kind of what happened. So, but I think the most underrated part of the game was Ohio State's defense bending at the beginning of this game and holding Michigan to three on both those drives. And then it's just like, I think it was PJ, I forget who, I want to say it was PJ Fleck. He was describing Michigan like this in 2022 and just how they just slowly just choke you out. They're just like a snake, and just that's what Ohio State did. They just slowly but surely just killed Michigan. And like there's really not much to add other than like they are so good and their defense is so good. And yeah, I mean, I guess plus 150 seems about right, but it will be fun to just see like if someone can jump on them, like kind of how
Yeah.
they jumped on Oregon, or if someone can put it all together.
What's
Which
the
just makes
spread
it
of?
sad that we don't have to get in this now. It just makes this whole playoff situation sad because a team played them very close and is getting punished for it. So.
Ah, dude, when we get in the playoff segment, I got so much to say.
What is the spread on the Indiana Ohio State game? Does anyone know?
5.5.
Okay.
4.5.
I mean, if I was a betting man, I would hammer the Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
but I
might be
might
think
be a bet.
everyone
I
is
might be a
hammering the
betting
Bucks. That's
man.
what's weird.
I just think they're giving Indiana credit for being 12-0.
Well, I do think the Oregon win is a huge point on their resume at this point. To beat Oregon at home by 10, because Oregon's kind of found their stride and Indiana did beat them.
Ohio
So,
State doesn't have a better win than that. That is
no,
true. Yeah.
no. So, I guess that's kind of what we got there. But again, 365 days ago, Ryan Day, they wanted him fired at Ohio State, and I'm pretty sure the athletic department made the right decision. Let's go down to the next game. This is Alabama Auburn, and obviously, this is an Alabama team that is not it's not that great right now, and they struggle to pass the ball down the field. They struggle to run the ball. Their defense is a lot of bend but don't break. They relied a lot on turnovers in this game, and it's very obvious to see this is not like your juggernaut Alabama team. But in the same way, they find a way to win football games, and you cannot stress enough how important it is to have on 4th and 2 a play call that you know you're going to get. And they do that time and time and time again this year, where they just need a big 4th and 2 at the end of the game to win the game, and they get it. And I just think that Auburn, it can be said that Auburn lost this game before Alabama decided to win this game, because I thought Ashton Daniels played amazing. I thought he was electric with his legs and scrambling, and I thought he pushed the ball down the field. And other than Simmons, number 4, that Auburn receiver, and then obviously Cam Coleman's really good. The fumble at the end really hurt, but they dropped a ton of footballs. They did not put Ashton Daniels in a position to succeed. And at the end of the day, like, Bray Hubbard made some plays. Alabama, he's pretty consistent. Number 18, their safety on defense. And then also, I do think it's very important to note that it is awesome. Bama has 3 really good receivers, and Isaiah Horton was the one that went off today. But basically, they're just playing get our receivers the ball and let Ty Simpson cook, and like, defense, like, let's just hold up, try to get some turnovers, and like, we'll find a way to win games. And we'll talk about the playoff scenario later. But what did you guys think about this game?
I thought that one encouraging thing, because like you were saying, it's clear the offense is struggling a little bit, and especially in the pass game. And coming from where they were earlier in the season to now, there's been regression and they haven't been able to produce as much. But I think a key part of that previously was their inability to run the ball and the stress that that was putting on their passing attack. I think one encouraging sign, because Auburn is a pretty good front, they have a pretty good defense. And I don't think it's fallen off that much with DJ Durkin taking over. And the whole defensive staff was still operating how they have been. I think it was encouraging that they were able to run the football in key moments in this game. They finished with 158 yards on 38 carries, which is a decent output for them based off what they've been able to do this year. Jan Miller got hurt at the end of the game, which is bad, but they were doing some nice things with him on the ground. And late in the game, when they needed to control the clock and just be in control of the game in general, because it was close and they needed to score, I think them being able to find 4 to 5 yard gains on the ground helped them out a little bit. And you saw Simpson, he didn't have to do as much, which he has had to do previously. So taking a little pressure off Simpson and allowing him to operate, because he is really good quarterback, I think that's a positive sign. But they're still a little disjointed in the pass game. I think a bye week honestly would have done them right if they didn't make the ACC or the SEC championship game, but they have to just keep on playing and we'll see if they're able to turn it around on the fly. They always have explosive potential, and they can just get on Georgia because Georgia doesn't always start fast. But I think they're trending negatively right now, and it's going to take a little bit of. I think it's just going to. I don't know if they'll have the time to be able to right the ship as we get into the playoff.
Offense, it is key to note though, offensive staffs are usually a little bit more flexible and like and they move a little, they can adapt a little more quickly than defensive staffs. You kind of see that in the NFL kind of play out. Like the Steelers haven't been good at offense for 8 years, and then the Rams were a wreck for a decade until, and then McVay came in and all of a sudden like we're splashing. So I
There's
do think,
also there's already proof of performance for them too,
yes.
and they've been able to produce a lot offensively with the receiving core. I think there could be a game where they just get in rhythm early and they're just clicking like they like you saw them be able to do earlier in the season, and that's just always a possibility for
Yeah,
them too.
Jeremy Bernard is their best receiver, but and they also have Isaiah Horn and Ryan Williams, who Ryan Williams was not very effective in this game, but you could see, and he is very explosive, so you're right, Dusker. But
Bro, they were missing our guy Quavis.
dude, that was another thing. Quavis
Yeah,
is
that
my
was
favorite
big.
out he's my favorite Alabama player.
Yeah, they were missing him big time.
Definitely.
Funny part of this game was watching it with my dad and watching this small aneurysm that he had. When Bama decided to go for it at the end of the game, as every father, why don't you just take the points on the road? But I also think like we've talked a lot about Bama. I had a little bit of PTSD watching that play at the end. It was like the same exact thing as South Carolina's guy wide open. But I think that shows the trust that they have in this defense, who is now becoming more and more underrated. I've been very impressed with how this defense and these DBs have played. So, and this also reminds me of kind of where they were before they played Georgia, and almost felt like, oh, this is a must-win game. We haven't been playing well, obviously the Florida State game. So it's kind of the same vibe around Alabama now, as they've struggled ever since that South Carolina game, really, to put together a full 60 minutes and hit on these explosive plays. So let's see if they can get right. I don't know. But yeah, back to that defense. Their DBs are electric. They have been shut down. They've been very, very good. And what I think is a really underrated part of this team that has not been getting talked about as much as the offense. And I know, like you said here, Charlie, how Simpson's audibled so much. I just think, like, even when I got to see him play in person, like, he is such a game operator and such a game manager and just does such a good job running the offense. It's really fun to watch him kind of just operate. And that's why I think he's going to be very successful at the next level, especially with the right coaching staff and the right system to let him just kind of cook.
Get Arch in here. Come
Yeah,
on.
Caleb, let me hear something from you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good game. Obviously, it was one of those games that I guess watching it and like seeing it progress, I didn't know how Auburn was actually in that game because I thought Bama from down to down played so much better. But Auburn was very opportunistic. Players were playing hard under Durkin. But at the end of the day, they Auburn is gonna Auburn, and they did that with that fumble by Cam Coleman. Which like no fault to his. I mean, he did fumble, but it's not like.
Future Georgia Bulldog Cam Coleman.
Yeah, we'll see if we open up. I mean, we do have some NIL after the quarterback, but yeah, I mean, it was a good game. I thought Auburn, like I said, I don't know how they were in it, but I mean, they were just they fought, which is what you like. The worst part about some of these rivalry games now is where there's like a clear team that's like mailing it in, and I think you see that sometimes. But I mean, Auburn. I don't even know Auburn's record. I didn't know if they're bowl eligible or not, or if this game decided bowl eligibility, but they were fighting so hard. Like they, and that's like what college football and the pageantry and the tradition's all about. So it was awesome to see a team that really was playing for nothing except like the Gasparilla Bowl, if that, and they still were fighting like they were competing to go to the SEC title. So I thought it was a good win for Bama. I mean, for games like that, you don't care about the score, you just want to get out of there. Offensive passing game was really inefficient. I think Simpson threw like 40 times for like less than 200, which is what Rayola did against Cincinnati week one, and we bagged on him. So, got to clean that up. But I mean, when they play Georgia this week, they'll probably look like the 85 Bears like they usually do after a bad week. So, I'm sure they'll get that fixed pretty soon.
I got a Cam Coleman thing. I love Cam Coleman. He's one of my favorite receivers. Also one of the best receivers in the in college football. And that was a bad fumble. Good hit by Bray Hubbard, bad fumble. But I really hope Coleman stays at Auburn for the duration of his career, which is one more year. And I think if you're goalish, like this is the guy like you have to try and keep because dude, he's so physical. He's a boy dog. He competes his ass off. He's a playmaker. I think like Cam Coleman is what you want out of your receiver room. A guy that can block, a guy that like he finishes runs with physicality, makes a ton of good plays, good route runner, twitched up. So obviously not how you want to end the season for Cam Coleman. Like felt bad for him fumbling after he was so heroic all year for them. But I'd like to see him stay at Auburn. I'm rooting for goalish keeping him because that'd be that he's an Auburn guy. So but
We'll just go to
what
LSU.
he's going to LSU.
That's what I think.
All right. Well, I hope not. I mean, if he does, so be it. I won't be
Did
butthurt.
say it has been reported that he intends on entering the portal, but now that they have a new staff,
Lure him
they could
back. We'll
always
see.
retain.
Well, I'm sure he's probably not coming back. I think he's like embodies what it means to be like to keep fighting and like that's an Auburn football guy for the last 2 years. So, you know, you'd like to see him at least like get to walk out on like senior day. Right, I don't know if juniors that have their degree can walk, but whatever. Okay, can we go into the? Let's do the. I think this is a good time to talk about the playoff bracket that came out. And we can talk about Alabama, jumping Notre Dame, which I think is good, but I don't think that I don't think the committee did that for like the right reasons. I think they're just positioning. They're just positioning themselves, and I also think. What is that guy's? What is that clown's name that they have?
6'7".
Dude, that guy sucks. And every time you listen to him, you just get more confused. Because Reese Davis actually takes his time to ask thoughtful questions that all of the college football world is wondering. And this guy just says, "Well, you know, Reese, next week we're gonna probably rank the teams 1 to 25."
He was blue balling. Like,
Looks him
that
dead in
was
the eyes and
insane.
said that. Looked him dead in the eyes and said, "Well, Reese, next week we're gonna rank these teams 1 to 25."
We're gonna re-rank them. What is gonna change, brother?
And dude, Reese Davis smiled, but I know Reese Davis wanted to throw a punch at that guy. Like, I know he there's no way he professional on being a professional, like 60-year-old and doing the 6'7" thing, like as
What's
Reese
his
Davis,
name?
dude, I don't know. He's the
Is it the
chair.
chairman? Of the
It's
committee?
the
Is it
chairman
chair?
of the committee? Hunter Yurcheck. He's the Arkansas AD,
He's
which
such
clearly
a
he
clown.
doesn't take that job serious enough because
Yeah,
they hired a
seriously.
G5 coach who was on the hot seat. So
You should have called the segment we did to start the show,
Oh,
Archie, with
dude, the Silverfield.
it
No,
perfectly
you.
aligned with what you just said.
Yeah.
The
He's a terrible hire. He's the
Most
Arkansas AD.
uninspiring.
Dude,
Dude,
this guy.
Memphis cared more about football than Arkansas does, like
They
football
beat
wise.
Arkansas.
Yeah, what a catastrophic error in my opinion. You like Memphis donors, I know it's just like probably I shouldn't be talking about this right now, but the Memphis donors wanted him gone because they had all this FedEx money and the most NIL in the American Conference, and they couldn't even make the American title the last 4 years with the most talented like blue chip ratio roster. And you Arkansas goes out and says that's our guy. What like this such a miss.
Because they beat them.
Such a
Putting
miss.
the pieces of the puzzle together and realizing that that committee chair is the AD at Arkansas at all,
Makes
it all
sense.
kind of makes sense now.
He's
Yeah,
such a
Hunter
clown.
Yurcheck is an idiot.
Yeah, idiot. Idiot watch, but also, dude, can we? I would just want like restitution for Vanderbilt being the number 14th ranked team in the country. I don't understand how they are that low. And my thing is like, why is Notre Dame like a shoe-in for the playoff? Like, why are they in? I
Because they're
think.
good.
I get the eye test, but resume, like, dude, how do you
Kidding.
leave
I'm
out?
kidding.
I know, I know, I
They're
know, I know you are.
like 4 10-2 teams. Not four. There's a few 10-2 teams that are better that or that have better resumes than Notre Dame.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Vanderbilt resume is a very impressive resume. And it's bullshit that Vanderbilt doesn't get credit for beating, like, they were the number 12, they were, or number 11 at the time, South Carolina.
Yeah,
That was a
that,
big win.
yeah.
When it happened, that was like, oh my gosh, Vanderbilt beat them. Or what about beating LSU? Like, that just doesn't count anymore.
Dude,
It shouldn't get, it shouldn't be the.
I
I would push back on
understand.
that a little bit.
Wait, can I
Bro,
finish
if
my
you
take?
say
Let me
South
finish my take.
Carolina's a big win, though, like
No, I
you
didn't say
simply
that.
can't.
No,
But
no, no, no.
you
Didn't say that. Didn't say that. All I'm saying is this. If we go through the Vanderbilt Commodores, I'm just saying they should get, like, dude, okay. They beat number 11 South Carolina when they were ranked number 11. They beat number 10 LSU when they were ranked LSU. They beat number 15 Missouri when they played Missouri. They lost to Texas, beat Auburn, beat Kentucky, beat number 19 Tennessee. All I'm saying is they shouldn't get the full weight of beating number 11 South Carolina. But that should like be a that should be like, wow, good win. Hard win, tough win. If that's not playing Syracuse.
Oregon's getting a lot of credit for beating Penn State.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, how the hell is Oregon five
Well,
over
that's
Ole Miss or A&M?
No, I get that. No, I get that as well. But
I think that's the big, like, the most egregious.
so you don't think Vanderbilt should be like in this conversation with Notre Dame?
But then
I don't
why
think they
does
should
like
make the playoff. Because there's other teams in their conference that either beat them
or just have better record and better wins.
I think the problem with Vanderbilt is you prop them off of quality losses instead of good wins.
Dude, they beat
The
Tennessee by
what?
100.
What? Dude, the
And Georgia
Tennessee
took
is
him to
not the.
overtime and should have
This
lost
is,
the
dude,
game.
that was week four versus week 14.
They were still
All
number
I'm saying,
19.
dude,
Okay.
all I'm saying is that Vanderbilt's two toughest games they lost. And they should have lost by to Texas by like 30.
So
That
did
three
Notre
points,
Dame. So were Notre
dude,
Dame. They
but
lost their
that,
two toughest
dude,
games.
people say Notre Dame should be in either. I don't think Notre Dame should be in, but that's
Okay,
just
at
me.
least we can
You know
agree
who
with
should
that.
be in?
I agree. Who? Who?
Texas.
Over Vandy?
No. Arguably over Oklahoma.
Dude, yeah, I agree. You have now set a precedent where
I
you.
think if you take the three team block of Vandy, Oklahoma, and Texas, one of them has beat both. And then also one of them played Ohio State and lost by seven. And like you can talk about quality losses all you want, but nobody's beat Ohio State. So the only way to have a conversation about them is to teams that have lost to them. And have you seen Vanderbilt's out of conference schedule? Just take
Yeah,
a
it
peek
was
at it real quick. Or do
Georgia
you want me to
State,
read it off to
Utah
you?
State, Charles
Charleston
Southern.
Southern, Virginia Tech, Georgia State, and Utah State.
I think Texas should be
Not one of
higher
those
too.
teams is better than even like UTEP or whoever they Texas played
Yeah.
earlier in the season.
Dude, Texas.
Besides Virginia Tech,
I
but
also think Texas should be I my other take is that Texas should also be higher than Notre Dame.
it should be, in my opinion, it should be Miami because they beat Notre Dame and they have the same record. And it should be Texas because they beat Oklahoma and Vandy, and those teams are they're well, Oklahoma's not on the bubble, they're a shoo-in, but they beat Vandy and they beat Oklahoma.
But then, how do you put Oklahoma in but not Bama?
Well, Bama's in.
Bama should be in because they're the one seed in the SEC. And they went 7-1 in conference.
I
My
hear a Bama. How do
how?
you put Oklahoma in over Bama? Or how do you
Dude,
put Bama over Oklahoma
my
with the
whole thing
same thing as Notre Dame?
is if you want Texas in over Oklahoma because Texas beat them head to head, then that means you also want Oklahoma over Texas because, or no,
Bama.
Texas over Oklahoma. Did I
No,
just repeat
you
the
need
same thing?
Oklahoma over
Bama.
Bama.
But
Oklahoma
then
over
you,
Bama.
but that's what I'm saying. But then you'd want Oklahoma over Bama. So that means you would want Oklahoma and Texas over Bama. If that's what I meant to say.
Well,
And I just don't know
I think
how you can do that.
going 7-1 in the SEC
Really?
with the schedule that Bama had,
Really, Arch?
I think that should
Dude,
carry
there's no
weight.
way you leave it. There's no way they can leave out Bama. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that they necessarily like are a shoe-in like the commit like. I think Vegas has them like minus 4,000 to make the
They
playoff.
should be in the playoff, bro.
They
Why
should be
would
in
they
the
not
playoff,
be?
but there should
I
be a
agree. I
debate.
just.
There should be a genuine debate on the 10-2 teams with them at least ahead. Like if the group, the Vandys, the hell BYU. I mean, I don't think BYU should sniff this playoff, but Bama should be above them a little bit. Like Bama should be high, more regarded than Notre Dame, but. Like a little bit more than Notre Dame, but barely more than Miami. I think Miami is getting screwed by this, but also Miami has two bad losses. But that's
Miami
just me.
beating Notre Dame and them being both being 10-2 though is like anti-competition.
Yeah, like, why do
I
you play the
agree.
games?
I think it
I agree.
also sets the whole.
Next, you know
I
what you should
think
do?
it.
You know what we should do next year? And
Have a
we'll play.
4-team playoff.
No. Yeah. Well, I've always said that. But you know what we should do next year? We'll do Miami versus Notre Dame, but instead we'll just make the bands play. We'll do a music concert. Why play the game? It's just
Dude.
dude, give CJ Carr the flute and then give Malachi Toney the drums, and we'll just let him play in the band because the games obviously don't matter.
It's actually insane that Notre Dame just gets auto, just
Well,
auto
because they
bids
roll like
for
how about
consistent.
this
I
four team
remember we
play
talked
the
about
four team
one
playoff
good.
would
They
be
have one
perfect
good
for this
win,
year.
though.
Dude, I remember we talked about this with at the beginning of the season. We said that no matter what Notre Dame does, like they can either lose both Miami A&M or they can split, they'll still be in. And then even after they lost both of those, I was like, okay, maybe this year they actually don't make it. Dude, you skull drug like 10 teams besides Navy. You just skull nine like lifeless teams,
Yeah,
and
thank
you're
you.
just although
How is
like.
Navy more lifeful than Pitt is?
Dude, Navy's 10
Don't
wins.
even talk about that fraudulent Panthers. But my
Oh,
whole thing is
wait, they beat Syracuse 70-7.
maybe
You
Navy with their
forgot.
backup.
In college, shout out the Eagles. That their second win of the season, they skull drug Syracuse. Syracuse is a corpse. My whole like, I don't know,
Oh, they
dude.
beat
I think,
Stanford, though.
yeah, I think the
And
precedent
Wake.
is, I think the precedent is it matters who you beat. I think that the committee, no matter what they say or not, it matters when you peak. It matters when you peak.
Yep.
Notre Dame peak like week eight, Miami peak. I think genuinely think speaking Miami peak week one or two, probably week one because that no, they might have peaked versus USF when they skull drugged them. That might have been their peak as a team. Since then, just haven't looked that good.
I just don't. Here's my thing about the committee using that logic is like, then you just have 3 weeks with like, not 3 weeks, but like then it's like 2 weeks. Everybody gets buys, and it's like, all right, we kind of get a reset button on the team. Guys get healthy. Like you shouldn't be judging peaks when like there's going to be a 2 week hiatus where like nobody plays football.
I think there's another factor to this, and this just I saw this news today. Alabama is switching around their non-conference schedule, so they were supposed to play USF next
Yeah.
year, and they switched it to a game against I think it's an FCS
Chattanooga.
team. Yeah,
Marshall.
exactly.
Chattanooga.
They're
Marshall.
playing
They play USF
Chattanooga.
in 2032.
Yeah, so this is going to incentivize teams not playing difficult non-conference games earlier in the season, like they have been over the last few years. And who's going to want to play Notre Dame now if Miami plays Notre Dame, beats them, and then goes 10-2, but Notre Dame plays one of the softest schedules in the country and goes 10-2, there's no benefit to it.
Yeah,
So
no,
who's
nothing.
even going to, what big program that has playoff aspirations is going to want to play Notre Dame now? And now Notre Dame's just going to cakewalk through their schedule every year if the scheduling trends continue.
Yeah,
I
no. And
remember it's just like an ugly downward spiral. I know a lot of people would always like say like I suppose it was because like Notre Dame always gets like kind of like this treatment, and it's like up to the schools to schedule them because they're an independent, obviously. And I know people have been talking about it. Like I don't know why, like especially like the ACC, they had like this like. They had like the non-agreement, but they were basically like the whatever, like the 15th member of the conference, but they weren't actually in the conference. Why do you do that? Because you beat down your own conference when Notre Dame skull drugs your teams, and then you like, I don't know. I saw I the thing you mentioned with Bama. I saw Herb Street tweet that today, and like I think that Herb Street tweeted that without
What do
actually
you
reading
say?
what
What
the
do you say?
article was. He said this is going to
He
be a
said
trend
basically what I
going
just said.
forward.
Yeah.
But the thing is I agree with that, what that sentiment, like what you said and what Herb Street said. He quoted it on a tweet of Bama rescheduling USF. That's not a game that they would schedule. Like, USF just lost their head coach. It's not like they're going to be a
Okay,
powerhouse against
USF's a bad
Bama.
example, but the point he was making
The
is
point is
true.
good.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why he didn't make that his own tweet. Like, quote tweeting that, everybody was like, dude, USF was not the team Bama was scared of.
Yeah.
I don't
They should
understand you
be. They
choosing
played
that.
well.
Also, the
Yeah,
12
but
team. I think the more glaring point of this too is Texas. Like, why would you
yeah.
ever play Ohio State? Yeah.
If they would have played fucking
They're in
Samford,
the mean green
so
and
they're in. So if Texas is 10-2 and Oklahoma is 10-2, but
they have a head-to-head win.
Texas played Ball Sack U instead of Ohio State, they're in, right? And
Yeah.
they're ranked ahead of Oklahoma,
Yeah.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
My whole argument is you play those out of conference games to win so you can make up for shit like the Florida loss.
Yeah, but
You
Bama
lost
lost
to
to
them.
Florida State.
But
Him eventually,
Bama
but they
hasn't
made up
lost
for it.
bad like that.
But
Bama
that's
has
when you
not
want to
lost
play.
bad like 8-0. And you can say that game was 8 to Florida. I remember watching that game live. It just did not seem like it was like a the second half Florida owned.
Arch, I agree with your point, but that's why you play, if you're Oklahoma, you play like a Michigan instead of an Ohio State. Like you, there's a
Yeah.
difference between the two.
I agree. I
Because
think Texas got the short side
a
with.
Michigan win looks good in theory, but it's an Ohio State, like it's not the same.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Texas has got like a tough like end of the stick, I guess, short end of the stick with you played Ohio State in a year that like probably
And
people
Georgia,
thought
you
didn't
played
have.
the two best college football programs in the country, and you lost those
Yeah.
games.
I mean, the thing with Ohio State, like Ohio State is reloaded. And that's the thing, like I guess preseason people thought they were gonna like, you know, like Ohio State was gonna fall with just with Patricia at DC or whatever. I don't know. I just think like my whole th I don't think if you I think if you let in 9-3 Texas over whoever, like I don't know. I think Texas is one of the best 12 football teams in this
Would you put
country.
them in over Notre Dame?
Ooh, I would.
I would in a
I
second.
don't think they're better. I think their resume is better, even though they have one less loss. I think Notre Dame is one of the best four teams in the country,
Question.
but I don't think the resume shows it. So,
Do you think that part of the selection committee, I'm trying to word this the right way, is bait in their selection process is based on who would be favored in a game?
oh, they just
I
revealed.
sure hope not, because that
But
like
I
that ruins it. But
probably,
is it
probably.
not like we? It doesn't even look like they're evaluating. Like it's clear that like Texas has better wins than Notre Dame does, and even Vandy to that to Van. Like if you put blind rank Vandy and Texas's resume, Vandy has a better resume than Notre Dame.
Vandy and Notre Dame, yeah.
Vandy and Notre Dame.
Yeah,
But
and then
who would be favored in a neutral site game, Vandy and Notre Dame?
or if you slapped the Michigan or USC logo on the Vanderbilt resume, and then you were like the USC or Notre Dame or Michigan or Notre Dame, like Michigan's going.
Like, you're telling me you don't think that, like, well, like, obviously Notre Dame would be favored against Vandy on a neutral site. And do you think that has something to do with the selection of the committee? I'm that just hypothetically just
No
asking.
doubt. Also, you
I
know what
think
else?
Notre Dame just gets the benefit of the doubt no matter what.
Always, always.
Yeah.
Also, but
They
it's
have
kind
the
of that
college
like,
football playoff birthright.
yeah. Also,
or then do you say like, you know what? Like these are blue bloods. It's like the veteran guys get the calls. I don't know.
okay, next thing. It's going to be so sad on the fir when in the first round when James Madison plays Oregon and Tulane plays Ole Miss. Why do those schools get a chance to play for the national championship when
Hey,
they're
but Duke,
obviously
still has a chance.
that woman? Get her off the air. Get her off the air. She's awful. She's awful. She made just horrendous points.
No, did you hear what her main point was?
What? Oh,
She was like,
they had Power Five wins.
well, Duke has seven Power Four wins,
It's
and
like,
no
oh,
group
they're.
of five team can say that. Well, because they don't play seven Power Four teams.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Literally, what are you talking about?
Man, and to that I
And
say,
oh, and they lost to. Wait.
did Duke lose to UConn?
Duke has two more G5 losses than Tulane. Tulane's one loss is against Ole Miss. Duke's two lo two. They have two losses in the G5. UConn and who else?
Tulane.
Oh, Tulane. Oh, a head-to-head. Oh my gosh.
God forbid, but you look at the head to
Also,
head.
should we
I
list
don't
off?
think is Tulane going to be. Sorry, this one is Tulane going to be in this playoff? I think North Texas is.
I
Probably.
think Tulane's gonna win.
You think so? I mean,
Yeah.
I
Who
we'll
knows
probably
who's gonna
pick
win?
them every single conference
Dude,
play.
that's
Also,
such a great game.
we
I
should
wish we could
hope
get
that
like
Tulane
McDonough
wins just
calling that
so they
game.
can't put Duke in the playoff.
Yeah.
Who's
My
announcing that?
whole thing, JMU's strength of schedule. I haven't
Is
updated the metric. Bro,
foul.
it's in the 120s, and that's because we talked about this like 2 weeks ago. The Sun Belt was the most poached conference from the transfer portal. I think it's affected them the most. The bottom of the Sun Belt is CUSA bad. Like Georgia State
CUSA
football,
bad.
JMU played them. Georgia, like, it's not serious. Georgia State is not playing a serious brand of
Coastal
football.
Carolina, not serious.
Georgia Southern is simply not serious anymore. I Salabama, horrible this year.
Marshall.
Like, Marshall was actually not as bad, but still, like,
I know.
but still, JMU beats it. The thing is that I don't know how the committee would. I genuinely don't know how they could like sleep at night taking a 100 like 115th strength of schedule JMU over Duke. But I also think Duke sucks. I don't think
Strength
there's
of
a
schedule.
wrong
Five
answer.
over
Five
Vanderbilt.
losses. That is, I mean, that is funny.
Vanderbilt.
Also, dude, how did the tiebreakers? I don't understand that with the
How is
whole
Miami
Duke,
not in the ACC
bro.
championship game?
But they, I think the tiebreakers were
They should have just
horrible,
manually overridden it. Like,
dude. But I saw
dude, they should
somebody
have a
tweet that,
stipulation
but.
where it's the overall record.
Dude, if
Like
they,
the American
yeah, I
has agree,
that.
Sam.
They should
The
do that
American has
because
that not the first
I think they
tiebreaker?
should do that on the third tiebreaker. But I saw somebody tweeting that the ACC should just override it and put Miami in there. And I was like, I guess it's from like speaking from like a law sense now. But do you know how quickly the ACC would just like blow up if they were just like, dude, no, we're taking Miami for better product? Like,
No,
in
you
what? Like,
obviously you guys
obviously, you can't do
understand
that.
Duke, right?
Duke's back. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool, man. We'll
I
go
totally get it.
play in the military bowl. Like, they're not doing that, dude. Like I don't get
If
it,
eight
dude.
and five Duke is in this college football playoff,
They
burn
oh.
it.
All
Burn.
I'm saying, if
All
Duke,
we know
Tulane
this.
and Duke get in. Dude,
Yes. Yeah, they
if
could.
Duke is a 12 seed, I think genuinely think they could beat Texas Tech if Texas Tech was a 5 seed. I genuinely think so, but I don't think it's because I think Duke's top offense is good.
You
But
know what would have been really funny? If Elon beat Duke and they were
oh, and it
six
was
and
seven.
six, and then
Oh
they were
my
seven
God.
and
Five.
they
Oh,
still made the
dude, I don't know. Like, and then the transit of property would have went crazy if Duke won a playoff game.
Yeah. That would have been sick.
Elon beat Texas Tech this year, not on
When
the field, but
we have a
hypothetically.
better scoring margin than a Texas Tech game, we could say we're better.
Yeah. I mean, not only did we knew this 12-team playoff was a broken format, but we are just seeing it play out in real time. And it would be perfect if it was just a four, imagine a world where it's just a four-team playoff. Only four teams get to play for a national championship. And it's Ohio State, then it's the winner of the Georgia Bama game. Then Texas Tech only goes if they win, and it's a win and they're in. And then in and then the and then both Ohio State and Indiana probably both make it, and they're at the one and the four seed. Imagine how beautiful that would be. And like maybe the only argument you could make is like between Texas A&M and Oregon for that last like four spot if
But
Texas
that's
Tech
fine
loses.
because they both lost too.
No, I'm saying exactly. And you're not, but you're like, oh, these are the four teams that deservingly deserve a chance at the national championship. Deservingly deserve,
Well, you
written
know what this I think this will
in
lead
English.
to they're just gonna take away automatic qualifiers for while the 12 team format's in place. So next year there'll probably be no automatic qualifiers, and then once we get the new 16 team, they'll have their SEC and Big Ten auto bids, but they have to at least take away the G5, like the top five ranked conference teams, and make it four.
Virginia's
My
Virginia's probably going to
only,
be in this thing. Forgot. Go. How about the UVA sneaking in?
dude, my
Well,
only,
at least
They're
they've,
10-2 if they
yeah,
win.
at least they've won 10 games, and they're
Dude,
winning
and they're,
a
dude,
power
theirs is
conference, a power
fraudulent
two.
too because
They
NC
beat
State.
NC State,
They
lost
lost
NC State,
NC
but
Oh my
dude,
gosh. And
they
they
did it. They did
count.
a home and home out of
Oh my
how do you even
gosh.
say an out? How do you pick like a home and home and we're like, no, we're not gonna make. They needed both needed a game. They said this isn't gonna be like, dude, that.
Insane. Insane.
Oh,
I mean,
dude,
dude,
what a joke.
Virginia's schedule. Oh my gosh, bro.
Virginia's is just like Vandy's,
Dude,
in my
Virginia
opinion.
is no. Vandy's?
No,
Like, no.
Arch.
Out of conference. Out of conference.
Oh, they're out of conferences.
Out of
They're
conference.
out of conference.
Terrible.
They're
William
out of
and Mary
conference.
in Richmond.
Arch,
Yeah.
your hatred of Vandy needs studied.
It's because, dude. Well, I just don't think they're that. No, it's Pavia hate. As soon as he's gone, I love him. Hate him now though. I gotta
I like
love
Pavia.
Pavia. I love Pavia.
I
I
love
think he
him.
should go to the Heisman. I think he
Dude,
should
I think
be.
he might win the
Oh, Saiyan's gonna win if
Heisman.
they if. I think it's just the winner of the Big Ten
Yeah.
is gonna get the Heisman.
No,
Yeah,
I think
they'll
Pavia,
probably
like.
give Pavia charity in New York,
No,
bro.
he should
Yeah, Pavia's
go.
gonna
Dude,
get an
Pavia is the
invite though.
favorite right now to win the
Dude.
Heisman. You guys know that. No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's
He
not.
is the running back of the
Yes,
week
he
this week.
is.
What a
According to
world.
the latest Heisman,
Mark might boycott the rest of the
Diego
season if
Pavia
Bobby
has moved
wins.
into a
Oh my
team with
gosh.
Fernando Mendoza.
Oh my God.
Dude,
Diego's right there.
he's gonna win the
I hope he
Heisman.
does.
Me too. That'd be funny.
Dude, and who has been more impactful for a football program than Diego Pavia at
He
Vanderbilt?
low key, I agree.
Like who? Where have we seen this before?
I
No,
you're
no,
right.
no. I agree. Okay, no, I agree. I think his I his it's his off the field persona that's made His
me mad for a
antics. You
while.
don't like the antics?
His I don't like his antics, and I don't like his stance on no eligibility. Let me play. Like it's every single time the NCAA gives him an inch, he wants to take a mile, and it's been like that since he got transferred to Vandy. Like that's my whole gripe with him.
Wish I was.
I will
And
never
you
side with
admit
the
that he's a
NCAA.
damn good college football quarterback.
I think he's a
He's
damn good college football
electric.
quarterback, but I think that he is a cancer about for college sports.
Is he a seventh year?
Yes, and he but no, and he's the same idiot that said that when he signed his NLI to go to New Mexico Military Institute,
XLI.
he knew that he was using his eligibility at his JUCO to go try and play.
100%.
And now he's trying to argue that they were taking away his money. In that his NLI or his national letter of intent there shouldn't count for NLI for
For
divisions
D1.
for the NCAA sports because the
Arch, you know what they say?
NJCAA. It's so stupid.
You know what they say, though?
What?
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
I hate both of them, actually.
You're like, it's you're like
You're
a
such a
really
lawyer,
adult.
dude.
College sports are broken. The transfer portal.
I'm
It's like every grandpa, like, oh, it's college sports. I don't even know who's playing anymore.
just a traditionalist, man.
You're a lawyer.
Yeah, you are a lawyer. Nice Callaway, by the way.
Preach, preach. Shout
Yeah.
out Sam's Club.
Should we talk about some games or no?
Yeah, we can talk about some games.
I guess we can talk about that part of the show.
All right. You guys get to pick. Do we want
Wait,
Oregon
are we
Wa
previewing
recapping?
or
recapping?
Let's recap a few games and then get out of here.
All right. All right. Listen. Texas, Texas A&M. I thought that was a fun game. Dude, again with Texas, I want to preface this. The Florida loss is obviously a killer, but I'm willing to give you one bad loss if you can make it up for it with good wins. They lost to the two best teams in college football, plus Florida. Obviously, my gut tells me they won't make it because they were in 10, there's only 10 spots this year for the playoff, and there's too many 10-2 teams. But this was an awesome win for Texas. And it was an awesome win as a program. I thought Arch Manning, what a comeback after what was it, the Wall Street Journal or whoever, The Athletic wrote the article saying he's the biggest bust in college football history. Like, sad journalism. Not, it's not even, we're not even calling that journalism.
Lowercase J
Yeah,
journalism.
yeah, yeah. Lowercase J journalism. But we did talk about this last week, and this is why you listen to the show, because a lot of times we're dead on in our previews. We talked last week saying, although Texas hasn't run the ball effectively this season that much, in any game, the staff and the personnel is good enough to make it happen, which they did. And Wisner had 150 yards on the ground, and he was electric. And I thought that was a huge reason for their success. But yeah, I was truly impressed with Texas. Texas A&M, obviously, hey, go in. Lick your wounds. You get a double bye week where you don't play the SEC championship and you don't play on the Army Navy week, and then you go in December 21st and you're ready to play. So or December 20th, whatever the game is. So a wound. It's wound licking time for Texas A&M. Dude, they were probably an 11-1 football team all year. Where and they came out unscathed in the US in the South Carolina game, and they probably did not deserve to win that football game. And dude, this Texas team came to play. I'm continually, like, every time I watch Texas A&M, Casey Concepcion and Mario Craver are so good at football, and their body control is so amazing, and their twitch is so elite that I just love it. But if you would have asked Mike Elko in a room, you said, "Hey, you'd be 11-1, but miss the SEC championship, and this is in March." He'd say, "Thank you very much. I will take that." So if you're Texas A&M, like, you're in the right spot. Texas, that Florida loss is just such a killer.
Yeah, agreed. And it's really a shame that Texas lost to Florida because this is probably a top eight team. at minimum, potentially top five when they're when they play up to their potential. And we've been waiting all year for the run game to show up and for them to be multifaceted and be able to attack you from different angles on offense. And so much blame has been placed on Arch Manning this year for offensive struggles. And they started slow in this game for sure, but you finally got to see in the second half what it looked like when Texas was clicking, when they were just pounding gap scheme runs down A&M's throat, who have a really, really good defense. They've gone 11-1, and they have so many studs on defense. They're probably also a top eight team in college football. And Texas was having their way with them on the ground and just cracking big runs. Arch Manning had an awesome rushing touchdown where he looked really fast, which was I've never seen that level of speed
He is an
out of
athlete.
Arch Manning before.
He
Yeah,
is an absolute
he's
athlete.
actually got really good breakaway speed. And that's just what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for the ground game. And then Arch made some great throws. He's been flashing his arm for basically the whole season at this point and playing really well. And it's just funny to me that a guy in his first year as a full-time starter caught so much flack and criticism for expectations that he didn't create himself, but people created externally. And I'm glad that his performances are starting to live up to some of the billing that he got before the season. And then from an A&M perspective, like you were saying, I think this loss is pretty expected after the gauntlet that they've run this season and some of the games that they got away with, like South Carolina, like Auburn. But this result could go one of two ways for them. The first is, like you said, they lick their wounds, they go home. The pressure of an undefeated season is taken off of your back. You don't have to go play for a conference championship, which is kind of heartbreaking because they went 7-1 in conference and had a really good year, and they've never had the opportunity to do that before, and it would have been a really big deal for the program. But there's also a bit of an advantage for teams that don't play in the conference championship. Look at Notre Dame and Ohio State last year. I think that they're in a really prime position with getting this time off. I think you'll see that in teams like Oregon as well. They'll just be able to rest up and get guys right these next 2 weeks before they have to go play a home game
Yep, Kyle Field.
against a cupcake team like JMU or Tulane. And that's gonna be beneficial for them.
Well,
The other the yeah.
currently Notre Dame's coming to town, but we'll see.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's the least ideal scenario for
Yep,
sure.
yep.
But in all likelihood, they'll
They
probably
beat
have an
him this
easier game
year.
than that. Yeah, that's true as well. But the other scenario is the season completely collapses in on itself and they can't recover from this loss. And the only way that would happen, I think, is if the offensive inconsistencies that we've seen from the offense and from Marcell Reed in some games, you saw the turnovers in this game. I think if those show up, then they can get got by any team, but the potential and them getting healthy, it's all there for them to be able to make a run, especially if they get a favorable matchup in the first round. So I still think this team can do some damage. You just can't be as confident as you were previously to them losing.
I'm going to draw a comparison I thought of, and I just looked up some data to make sure that I thought what lined up. I think Texas A&M this year is the same thing as Texas last year. A weak conference schedule where they lost to the only team that they like was had the same caliber roster as them. And I could compare that to Texas. Michigan was horrible last year. Texas beat up on them. A&M beat Notre Dame this year. Notre Dame's good. That was a good win for them. But in conference play, I just looked at their like strength of schedules in conference. Last year, Texas played like the bottom eight and they or bottom seven, and they lost to Georgia. That was obviously the top. This year, Texas A&M, all seven of their conference wins were the bottom, like some of the bottom seven. Their only loss to Texas, which is probably third or fourth and fifth in the conference. So I think, like what Luke said, I think they're going to have trouble scaling to top teams because I think they're too inconsistent at quarterback. Like we saw what Reed did in the game, which is kind of like with Texas. I just don't think they're as talented as Texas's team last year, so I think their ceiling is much lower. I think this is kind of what we thought. Like, I don't know. I thought A&M was good, but I thought they weren't gonna, they couldn't punch up with like Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia. I arguably think Texas or Texas Tech, Texas A&M would be a really good game. So I just think that's kind of what A&M was. And I think Texas was the first team they played in a while that was like able to expose that for what we'll see in the playoff. But that's kind of what I like was reminded of watching this game.
Yeah, I think quickly, I guess to play the other end of that, like you said, Duska, like they can lick their wounds and they can get healthy. Like I had this whole thing about how I thought A&M was actually set up nicely to get Le'Veon Moss back, get Craver healthy, get Concepcion healthy, get all their guys fired up, ready to go and play, whether it was UVA, JMU, Tulane. But then they dropped to 7 behind Oregon and Ole Miss, which to me was a little bit confusing. So now they're going to have to play Notre Dame again, which I think changes a lot of things. I don't know if they would win that game. So I think they kind of got screwed a little
Brutal
bit.
draw for them.
Yeah, like I think they really got screwed, and that's not being talked about that much. Dropping 4 spots after losing to Texas on the road as a 2-point favorite, or as a 2-point favorite. So a little bit of confusion on my end there. And then on the Texas side, I think this is huge for them, even though they're probably not going to make the playoff, for a few things. First off, just the overall vibe and the narrative of this team this year going into the offseason, where it could have been, shit, we went 8-4. We lost our 3 biggest games of the season. And on top of that, lost to a team that fired their head coach. So we're 8-4, going to not play in a great bowl game. And now it's year 4, 5 Sark, and we haven't really gotten to where we want to be. And we played bad against Kentucky and Mississippi State. Now the narrative turns into, hey, we went 9-3. We went toe to toe with the number one team in the country. We think that we should have gotten in the playoff, but instead we didn't. We improved as the season got on. We got better in those last 4 games. And we're going to come into this offseason pissed off and hungry and ready to go week one at home against Ohio State this year. So I think just that singular game is a huge stepping stone for Texas, regardless of the fact that they make the playoff or not.
In the same light as Michigan, that's also another really young offense that another offseason for them, that's going to pay a lot of dividends, I think, especially with Arch Manning having a full year of starting experience under his belt.
And they need a weapon. They miss Matthew Golden bad.
Yeah.
And who was their tight end that went to the NFL?
Helm.
Yeah, Gunnar Helm. Like, dude, they miss those skill position guys. That's where I think they lack as a team this year roster. What?
They're aware of that. They'll make necessary
Yeah,
changes for that.
100%.
And
100%.
Wingo's back. The O-line's really young this year. I just think
Be a sneaky spot for Cam Coleman, Charlie.
ooh,
Could be. Could be.
certainly. That'd be
I mean,
fun.
dude, if when you're getting Cam Coleman, you're getting a number one alpha,
Also,
like game changer.
did they get Quintravian Wisner back?
What?
Their running back?
Number 5?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, he was
He's a
toting
because
the hill.
he's damn good, yeah.
I think he's been playing though.
No, he has, but is he coming back? Like for next year.
Oh, next
Sorry, for
year.
next year.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know actually. I think he might.
I'm looking it up.
Oh, he's a junior. Maybe he'll go out this year.
No. He
But if he goes back,
shouldn't.
stud.
I
I
think
think
he'll stay. he's not
That's
even
it.
like top 5 in the SEC rushing.
He's a
But
stud.
he's a stud. That guy's
Yeah.
so good.
He'll probably be back.
All right.
I
Looks like
think
he
he
redshirted
might
his
go. He
freshman
was
year.
pretty good last year.
All right. So basically we have a couple things, a couple bit, a couple last couple games, and then we can get out of here. So obviously we got Pitt Miami to talk about. Sam was boots on the ground for that. Not much to say. Navy Memphis, which on Thanksgiving, both my dad and my uncle went to Navy, and watching that game on Thanksgiving, Navy should play on every Thanksgiving. It was a wonderful time. We had Oklahoma, LSU, obviously Georgia, Georgia Tech. What is that good old fashioned hate?
Yeah,
Yeah.
well, the Invesco QQQ Bowl now. It's corporate.
Oh, the corporate
It's
bowl?
sterile corporate jargon, but yeah.
And then SMU Cal, where, dude, what a fold. SMU is the reason we're in this situation anyway, because Sagapolitelli wanted to play some ball. Sam, talk about Pitt, please, and why we just can't at home just lay stinkers.
Well, I want to sit here and like complain about Pitt and say that like, oh, we lost our two biggest home games at the end of the year. But I mean, just being there, and I was Joey and I were, so you could just tell from the like the first drive of the game, both sides, it was one of those just like we weren't getting a push on the line of scrimmage. Miami was, even if they weren't sacking him, like our O line was getting pushed back and our
I
D
mean,
line was getting pushed back.
first play, they had a huge sack.
I mean, just like just throughout the beginning of the game, we scored. We were up 7-3, but yeah, it was just one of those like from the like sometimes in person you can just tell like wow they are so much better than us.
They
Yeah,
are
like there's not much to say. Like Miami was just better than
they're
us.
technically the 23rd team in the country, like as in ranking number wise, but like that's
We
just so
are.
for
We were ranked today.
no, we no, like before the game.
Oh.
And like, since we play in the ACC, like that's a possibility because like we just play dog shit competition compared to the rest of the country. But like, in any above average conference, like even the Big 12, like we would never scale to be a top 20 football team
Wait, did
ever.
we nail our Pitt preseason 8-4 projection? I think I said 8-4.
Well, then you did.
But, like, do you view this season as a success?
No, I view it as
I don't.
almost tragic, and then we walked ass backwards into Mason Heinsohn.
Also, want to give a shout out. I was not familiar with Miami fans. I don't know if you guys could see this on the broadcast though. Dude, they brought it. They had a nice session. They were loud. I was very, if there's any, I doubt it. If there's any Miami fans on the podcast, shout out. Like you guys were good. They were loud. Give them a lot of credit. Also, I would like to give no credit to the Pitt crowd and including Madeline Mill if she listens to this podcast because I don't think she was at the game. And when you have a chance to go to the ACC championship on the line, and your student section has 10 people in it, and then
It was fall break, though.
the University of Pitt alum who constantly complain about building a new stadium and not being able to fill up Heinz Field don't come. It's 40 fucking degrees and no one's at the game. I don't want to hear, oh, we can't get recruits. Let's fire an Narduzzi. Well, when you don't come to the game, when your students don't come to the game, then you have a lot bigger issues. So horrible showing from the Pitt fan base at that game. And I don't hear anything about the weather. It was 40 degrees in December. So that was my gripe. The horrible crowd. At least make it a little bit difficult on Miami. They played no crowd pulse at all. I think Joe and I were getting the loudest, and we were in a corporate box.
Well said, Sam. Well said.
But
But
it was fun, though.
the campus, the stadium's also off campus, and it was fall break, and
Christmas break. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving break.
Thanksgiving
Oh, yeah.
break.
We went
Over
over two.
two. Yeah, over two.
We're getting there.
All right. Speaking of Thanksgiving, though, what a day for my Navy midshipmen. And on the podcast, I said I knew we would do two things. Well, I knew two things. We would run the rock and our defensive backfield would be bad. And I asked the question, would we be able to pressure the quarterback enough to make up for our lack of defensive backfield production? And I said, are we going to be able to have 2.5 sacks? Well, we did. We had 5 sacks, came to play. We got the dive going with Alex Teska. So just very proud to be a Navy football fan right now. And we didn't obviously go to the championship, but dude, huge opportunity to beat Army, get to 10 wins, and then play in a bowl game. So excited for the mids and what's to come. And I don't judge the team based off of the fairy tale of going to the playoff. Like, that's okay. And it sucks that we didn't win the tiebreaker to go to the AAC championship, but dude, still a successful season. That's uber successful season. We have a
Need
chance.
one more win, though.
Come on. One more win when the pod will be in downtown Annapolis.
DOJ.
BOJ.
Are you guys going to the game?
Yeah. Yes. Ask us if we have tickets.
And it's
No.
because ticket prices are currently reducing as the days go by.
Which is why we do this every year. Year
We'll
four.
be able to poach some like $200.
Yes. tickets.
It's already
Archie,
like
you going?
250. Nah, it's in between my finals.
He is like real stuff.
Shambles.
It's okay. Well, dude, if you just played football and just retired like recently or the season ended, then you just like did fake school, like you could be us, but you're real school.
If I did have my contracts final on that Monday, I would, but it's my J&J one, and it's I want to Cali the class, so it's pretty important.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Valid.
no, super valid.
We'll wrap the pod, right?
Yeah, we will. We will. Oklahoma.
Should not have
LSU.
won that game.
No, they get away with
Yet
really.
another game with a fraudulent win for Mateer and Co.
Yes. Do you know
I don't.
Oklahoma's quarterback John Mateer, 12 touchdowns, 10 interceptions this year. Ooh.
The pod knew.
That was you, Arch. Even when everybody was hyping him up as the Heisman favorite, you pulled the reins back.
Because they like it happens every year with transfer quarterbacks to get overinflated just because they're the best in the portal. But that's not even the thing. What was LSU's defensive backs doing on that play? Cost them their
That was
money their
self-sabotage.
It was like it, that cost them like the thing you hang your hat on at the end of the season. Like we beat Oklahoma, we did this, and instead you give up a streak route with like 4 minutes left, and
For the
not a
best player
soul
on the
was within,
field. Best
and
player on the
not a
field.
soul was in 30 yards of him. It was mind-boggling. And then they don't even get me started. I don't want to get too into X's and O's. What was that play? I don't know if anybody the play call on 4th and 2 with
Oh
your
my
season on the line.
gosh. The
You go
dive.
under center. And then you do like Van Buren, like their backup that starts now, has to just like throw it away. But I was like, surely horrible decision. But then you look, he couldn't have even thrown it to anybody. There was three guys running a route, and one of them was like a fullback. I don't get it. I don't. They need it bad. Lane
Team in
Kiffin could not
dire
have
need of
come.
Lane Kiffin to
Yeah,
run the
yeah,
offense.
yes, yeah.
yeah. Horrible way to end the season for them, but. Well, not ended. They'll probably play in Music City, but
Yeah, that's pretty much
Gonna
all
have
you
a
needed to
hell of a
say.
game against Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Go Tyke. Georgia Tech. What do we think about this? Because I thought obviously Gunner only threw for 70 yards, which is kind of uninspiring, but you got the win. Yellow Jackets kind of showed up. Defense looked stout. They flew around in a game that nobody really gave them much of a shot in. And, you know, obviously Alabama came off of a win where, you know, they looked okay. Georgia's coming off a win where they looked okay and roll the ball out there in the same venue that Georgia just played in and let's go see who wins a game. So I'm not off of my Georgia pick just because of this game. Like they've shown, and I've also give Kirby the benefit of the doubt time and time again and when games like this happens and they pull out a win, but obviously they know like that's not going to get the job done moving forward.
Yeah, that was pretty pathetic. That was probably the worst Georgia offense I've seen in a while. And yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, Tech played out of their mind on defense. It was like they're always in the right call. So I don't really take too much, like you said, substance to that, but it was definitely uninspiring to see when you finally thought Georgia was turning the corner as a team, like that they were not subject to the letdowns.
But they won.
I also think their ability to stifle Georgia Tech's offense completely, that's a strong takeaway. And honestly, it's not that surprising the offense came out flat. I just don't think there's as much juice surrounding this game this year. And also last year, Georgia Tech punched them in the mouth too and kind of made Georgia lock in and we all saw the amount of effort it took for them to win this game. So I think they just came out a little flatter. They didn't know if they were going to be playing this week or not. And I think they just kind of wanted to get this game over with because they were finished their SEC schedule. They played Charlotte the week before. I just think it was like in between. It was like a look ahead spot as well as there just wasn't a lot in this game. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
Yeah, I don't got much. You want to move on? SMU Cal. Dude, I watched this game and Sagapuletelli, we'll see where he ends up. I thought who had the Kentucky take that he was going to Kentucky?
Sam.
Sam.
Oh, Arch
And
did
Arch.
too. Yeah.
Both. So I think that is a very I would like to see that. That'd be fun to see. But dude, Sagapolitelli, they punched him in the mouth 21-7 to start, and then SMU stormed back, goes up 35-31. Sagapolitelli leads them on a 2-minute drive to score a touchdown, and then SMU misses a field goal to tie. But like, dude, insane, like a shambles fold from SMU. SMU Virginia is at least like it saves face for the ACC if that's the ACC championship, and they just couldn't get it done, and that sucks for the ACC because now the doomsday scenario is well in play, where Duke makes it. That's the doomsday scenario.
Also, it looks like Oregon's DC, Tosh Lupoti, it looks like he is going to be the Cal coach based off what I saw. So I wonder if he'll be able to retain.
Sagapolitelli.
Yeah. Will be interesting to think to keep track of, but I like that hire for Cal.
I do too. And then
But that's an insane fold by SMU.
yeah,
Just
right.
so sad.
Could go
Yeah.
back to back years at the ACC
They
championship.
would probably win the ACC this year too.
Yeah. Another playoff bid for them.
Yeah.
Had they got
Sure.
in. And then the only thing, other notable thing that happened this week that I saw was Jaden Baugh ran for 266 yards on 38 carries versus Florida State in the battle for the worst team in Florida. So shout out Jaden Baugh for 266 on the ground. That's ridiculous. Anything else, guys?
Not much. Didn't pay too much attention to this one.
All right. Well, listen. Stay tuned. There might be another podcast coming later this week. Thank you guys for joining it, for tuning in, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. And we will see you later this week, whenever the next podcast gets posted. So thanks for tuning in, guys. And I'm gonna stop it right here.